Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. I have been spending a lot of time this month on what I consider to be a literary pearl. In fact, that's precisely what I call the book titled On Wealth and Poverty by St. John Chrysostom. It is indeed a literary pearl. For in it, St. John Chrysostom takes Christ's famed parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and then he attempts to plumb its immeasurable riches, all the while knowing that no one will be able to empty this parable of all its substantial wealth. Such is the nature of this abundance. The deeper you dig, the more divine thoughts will gush forth. It is a never-failing spring. And I have found that to be true. I have read and reread this book. And as I've done so, thoughts enter my mind, not thoughts merely about this life, but thoughts about the life that is to come, for this life is but a drop in the ocean of eternity. In that other world, in that world in which the words of Jesus Christ will take center stage. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And as you did this for one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. What we do for the poor and the downtrodden, those in need of food and water, those who hunger and thirst for the riches of Christ's kingdom, that reflects our unmasked inner state. Indeed, it reveals whether or not we are of Christ. The parable of Lazarus and the rich man is of extraordinary benefit, and that whether we are rich or poor. It teaches us that the most pitiable person of all is the one who lives in luxury and shares his goods with nobody. And it's not only physical goods, it's also spiritual goods. And so, as I mentioned the last time I talked about these sermons, St. John speaks again and again of the criticality of reading the Scriptures. In fact, he says that ignorance of Scripture is a great cliff, a deep abyss. Ignorance of Scripture leads to heresies. In fact, it leads to a corrupt way of life. The Scriptures, and we must never forget this salient truth, the Scriptures are replete with wisdom, but it's transformational wisdom. It's wisdom that, taken seriously, will lead us in the paths of righteousness. They cause us to properly consider this life and its significance with respect to the life that is most certainly to come. The truth of the matter is this. Once we enter eternity, there is no changing our fate. The rich man, well, he supposes that if someone rose from the dead, then people would believe. In truth, however, this is a falsity. How many hear the word of God and yet hold it in contempt? We can ask that question in Western civilization because we in the West have heard the words of God over and over again in myriad different formats. Sometimes we hear them through the words of a president like Abraham Lincoln. Sometimes we hear them in a sermon. But they are profound and prevalent throughout Western civilization. And yet, despite their profundity, how many yet consider Scripture a series of ungrounded stories? You know, the Jewish leaders living at the time of Christ thought just that. And therefore, they neither heeded the words of Scripture, nor were they convinced even by Christ's resurrection from the dead. The point is this, even if a dead person rises, even if an angel descends from heaven, we must recognize with a certainty that the Scriptures are more worthy of belief than any of this. For the Master of the angels, the Lord of the living and the dead, has himself given Scripture its authority. And nevertheless, despite the power inherent in Scripture, the wicked and rebellious do not come to their senses. They oftentimes don't alter their lives until it is too late. For this reason, God does not allow anyone to return from the dead and to tell us what happens thereafter. If God were to allow these kinds of things, the devil, as I said a week or so ago, the devil would take advantage and use such returns from the other life as a basis for introducing all sorts of false teachings. And there, of course, is ample evidence that this is precisely what the devil does. For when there were prophets, he raised up false prophets. When there were apostles, he raised up false apostles. When Christ appeared, he raised up false Christs. When healthful doctrines had been proclaimed, he introduced corrupt doctrine. So even if God allowed someone to come back from the dead, Satan would try to imitate this as well. Not truly raising the dead, but deceiving the sight of the observers by some kind of magical trick or illusion. He's good at that. Or else, perhaps, arranging for some people to pretend that they died and came to life. This, of course, is very prevalent. And by this, Satan would turn all God's truths upside down and cause complete confusion. But God, who foreknew all of these things, prevented such attacks by Satan. He did so, well, to spare us. And thus he doesn't allow anyone to come from the other world and speak of what is there to those who are in this world. And in this way, He teaches, he underscores, he underlines the importance of us to consider the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures which are the most trustworthy of all. For he has shown us deeds that are much more convincing than the resurrection of the dead. When we come back, I want to talk about how he has sent out his message of salvation to the whole world. He has given us truth. He has eradicated error by this truth. And he has accomplished all of this with ordinary fishermen. And he has provided for us everywhere sufficient demonstrations of his providence. I want to talk some more. Again, when we come back from the break, about St. John's sermon on the rich man and Lazarus. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
In John Chrysostom's Christian classic, On Wealth and Poverty, the words of Christ take center stage. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. As you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. Full of timeless truth, On Wealth and Poverty is a book with a message that is certain to leave readers eternally transformed. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
In John Chrysostom's Christian classic, On Wealth and Poverty, the words of Christ take center stage. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. As you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. On Wealth and Poverty is full of timeless truth, and to absorb its message is to be eternally transformed. What we do for the poor and the downtrodden, those in need of food and water, and those who hunger and thirst for the riches of Christ's kingdom, reflects the ultimate reality of our inner state, revealing whether we are of Christ or whether we are not. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Talking before the break about the importance of Scripture. But it is not just hearing that is critical. It is taking what we hear and putting it into practice. That's why we read in Scripture, everyone who hears these words of mine is like a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. We want to be wise. We want to take that which we hear and implement it in our lives. You know, St. James uses irony to drive home this point. He talks about the fact that if you are foolish, if you just hear and you don't put into action, then you're very much like a person who looks into a mirror, sees that his face is dirty, and yet fails to wash it. So we need to respond to the sermon on the rich man and Lazarus. And the response can only be this, that we continue on in daily repentance, confession, prayer, fasting, almsgiving. Because by self-control and charity, we can put away all of our sins in this life and depart to the next with full confidence. It may do us well to go back once again to our Lord's initial words respecting the rich man and Lazarus. Remember those words? There was a rich man, said Jesus. Rich in name, but not in fact. There was a rich man. He wore purple garments. He set an expansive table. He held drinking parties every day. And then there was another man, a poor man named Lazarus. And where is the name of the rich man? Nowhere. He is left nameless by our Lord. Lots of money, yet deprived of so much as a name. There was a rich man, wearing purple garments every day, and yet covering his soul in cobwebs, scented with perfumes, but stinking on the inside, setting an expensive table, feeding parasites and flatterers, fattening his flesh, but allowing his soul to perish from hunger. There that rich man was, feeding the flatterers, making his house into a theater, weakening everyone with wine, passing his time with abundant prosperity. And then the other side of the coin, there was a poor man, Lazarus, groaning with sores. And he was sitting at the gate of the rich man. And all he wanted was crumbs. He thirsted, as it were, at the spring. He hungered in the midst of prosperity. He lay at the entrance of the rich man, like a pearl in the mud, the rich man feeding parasites, but neglecting the poor. The poor man lay at his gate, poor outwardly, but rich inwardly. He lay wounded in body, but his soul was like a pearl within. His body was weak, but his soul was healthy. Let the poor hear and not be suffocated by discouragement. And let the rich hear and alter their wickedness. This is why those two images are set before us, the images of wealth and poverty, of cruelty and endurance, of patience and greed, so that when you see a poor man injured and despised, you may not consider him unfortunate. And when you see a rich man adoring himself, you may not consider him fortunate. Lazarus, you see, was lying at the rich man's gate. He was wounded, wasting away with hunger. The dogs in the parable showed far more love for humanity than did the rich man. They licked his wounds and cleansed in the process his infection. Lazarus lay there like a gold coin beside the gate, but even more valuable than gold. He did not say what most people say. Is this providence? Does God really oversee human affairs? Do I live in righteousness, and yet I am poor? Just as he lives in iniquity and he is rich? He didn't think any of those thoughts, but rather Lazarus submitted to the incomprehensibility of God's love for humankind. He, as it were, wiped his soul clean. He put on endurance. He demonstrated patience. He was reaching for the prize. He was becoming a witness for good things, for righteous things, for honorable things. He did not say, "Parasites are feasting in abundance, but I am not found worthy even of crumbs." Instead, he gave thanks and he glorified God. The time came for them to die. The rich man's death entailed burial, but not Lazarus's death. Lazarus's death was a journey, a change for the better, a transition from the sweat of the conquest to the glory of the crown. The stage sets were removed. The masks were taken off. And when the masks are removed, then the truly rich and the truly poor are revealed. You see, appearances are masks. They're not reality. Poverty received the rich man after his wealth in that other life. Do you not see? Our dear Lord wishes to shake us by such words and visions. As I started out today, talking about the significance of Scripture, I want to end today with those very same words. Perhaps in another show I'll come back to the wisdom in this book, but the wisdom is drawn from Scripture. The veins of Scripture are filled with gold. And we do ourselves no great service by neglecting the Scriptures. We must indeed tap the veins of gold in Scripture for all their substantial worth. I was praying earlier this morning, and as I did, I used the Scriptures. When I was praying about my faith in God, I employed Psalm 139. when I was praying of my adoration for God, I employed the scriptures. When I prayed my confessions to God, I employed the scriptures, in this case, Psalm 51. The scriptures are a treasure chest, not only while we pray, but as the words come back to us in the conduct of our lives. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I hope that I have encouraged you to get the resource of the month on Wealth and Poverty by St. John Chrysostom. It is available to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. In appreciation of your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you a book by the early church father John Chrysostom on wealth and poverty. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.